I'm incarnation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-S, let's go
Cardinal. Play a Cardinal game, get a Cardinal start. Play your Cardinal strong.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation. We're coming to you live from the Custom Multicade studio, but it is not in the normal place of Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, no. We are sitting here coming to you via satellite, via location on remote.
I guess you could say remotely teleconference.
Yeah. We are coming to you remotely from the beautiful, most of the time sunny, Panama City Beach, Florida. I have people sitting at my table right now, knowing that I don't come to their work and mess up their work, that are just trying to actively mess things up for me. So, good Lord. Sam, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. My phone started. Look, I've got so much going on at home right now. For those of you all that know, and we've had some technical difficulties, so we've had to restart the show a couple times. But my dad's sick again. He's probably going to have to go back to the hospital. Got a lot of stuff going on. So if you hear me, like, be a little distant and there's a longer pause than normal, it's because I'm checking my phone to make sure everything's okay. But here's what we're going to have for you tonight. It's a different show. We do the vacation show. Last year, it was just me, Teresa, and Chris that were doing the show. Do y'all want to say hi? Chris, you want to say hi? Are you eating? Do you want to say something that's politically correct on the radio this time?
I'm eating a donut.
Okay, Chris is eating a donut. I think he may be a little inebriated. I'm not sure. It smells like it. Teresa's eating pizza, so we'll hold comment from her until later. But we're coming to you live here from Panama City Beach, Florida. And we're going to start off the show with Sam. We're going to talk some women's basketball. We're going to follow that up with Sean. Sean said he could give us about 10 minutes tonight. He's going to talk baseball. So either he's got a hot date with a girl or a hot date with himself. We're not really sure which one that is. But what, Chris? What?
Nothing.
Okay. Sometimes it's better not to say anything at all, right?
You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
And plus, you know we cut up on the show anyway. And then after Sean, we're going to have the blue chipper, the sixth star, the self-proclaimed young stud of the crew, Dalton Pence. He'll be on to share some recruiting news. We have a lot of information for you. As I mentioned before, Sean will be covering baseball for us because our normal baseball guy, JK, it's hard for me to get in touch with him. So Sean's going to go over baseball. He's got some feature. He's going to talk about a couple of players that have been catching his eye on the field. And we got a great show for you, but what we're going to lead off the show with is this: women's basketball. The run to the national championship fell a little short. They lost to the number one overall seed, Stanford Cardinal. It is a team whose mascot basically looks like a big old fake tree. No respect for them. I have a ton of respect for them. They came back from a huge deficit with their own trees. What were their names? Sean Bryce, and what was the other one? I always forget her name.
Pritchard?
Yeah, Pritchard. And
Brink. You said Brink and Pritchard.
Yeah. Brink and Pritchard. That's what I said to begin with. No, it wasn't. But I admit my mistakes. So we ran into some trees there. We dominated them in the first half. And we fell short in the second half. Dana Evans, not one single point in the second quarter, but she did lead the team in other ways. And speaking of leading the team, speaking of rebounding being an issue in the second, and it was. Our big did not rebound and was just throwing shots up like Sean throws out compliments to girlfriends. They're just way off, or to girls. They're just way off the mark. But Jeff Walls, as good as any coach in the country when it comes to this. We are less than 48 hours from the result of the game. He goes out and addresses both issues. We got a walking double-double in Emily Inksler. She's a graduate transfer from Syracuse University. She put up 21-10 against us last week in the ACC tournament. And Chelsea Hall from Vanderbilt, she's a real floor general. She'll be able to do what I think Dana was, and I don't have really anything negative to say about Dana. I think she was a phenomenal player. But I do believe when it comes to directing player, and maybe it's just I didn't see it and it was happening. I'm okay with admitting to that. Maybe that's the truth. But Chelsea Hall, floor general, all SEC rookie team. Her freshman year scored 16 points against Louisville in the Yum Center against us. Great additions to the team. But, Sam, where did this go wrong? I mean, I think I kind of foreshadowed it a little bit, but where did this go wrong for the Louisville? Can I say Louisville women's basketball team?
Yeah, you can say Louisville women's basketball.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure I was being politically correct.
But I'm going to start off with the two additions that we got today, and Emily Inksler and Chelsea Hollow. Inksler's a 6'1", 6'2", guard slash forward. She started a lot of games for Syracuse, and she plays basically the 1-3. And she was the number 9 number 9 player in the class of 2018, the class that had Mikasa Robinson, Elizabeth Balogun, and Elizabeth Dixon. So this is going to be her senior year, of course. And she's a player that in 3 years at Syracuse, she has more blocks, 122. Then she has threes made, which she only has 77. And like you said, she played Louisville twice this year. And in a combined two games, she had 37 points, 21 rebounds. And she played 70 minutes with only 4 turnovers. That's left shooter right there. She values the basketball. And she can score as well as defend and rebound. And that's what Louisville was lacking a lot of this year, was rebounding. Mikasa did the best job she could. Haley did a great job. And, of course, Olivia and Dixon did too. So she'll be a very, very valuable addition to the team next year. And then you have Chelsea Hall. Like you said, she is the floor general. And no discredit to Dana, but she had a lot on her plate her junior and senior year trying to run the team and trying to get her buckets. And you can't say that she didn't do her job, but she did. She led the ACC in scoring, I think, 2 years in a row. She won the ACC player again twice in a row. But Chelsea Hall is a different type of point guard. And Jeff Walsh knew that he needed a different type of point guard because he has scorers. He has Haley Van Litt, Alana Smith off the bench. You have Kiana Smith. And you have, of course, Elizabeth Balogun, who's been known as a ball before she transferred. So you have all these different types of scorers. You just need someone who's going to be able to give them the ball. And that's what Chelsea Hall would do. So now you're ready to go ahead and talk about this Stanford game.
Yeah, and real quick, so just so everybody knows, we are having some phone issues. Please bear with us. If Sam gets to getting too bad, I will stop him and recap what he's just said so that way it's not a total waste of any of our times. It probably could be my signal down here. I am sitting on a about 20 feet from the beach. So, I mean, it could be my Wi-Fi signal. I don't think it is, but please bear with us, and we'll get through this. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Stanford game, because early in the game, Louisville had a little problem with their big Bryce. And what's that? I keep calling her the wrong name. What's her last name?
Brink,
that's what I said. No, I didn't. Brink gave us fits, but we overcame that. We shut the rest of the team down, and we had a hefty lead at the half. And we were still in the game in the third quarter, but then in the fourth quarter, they got hot, and boy, did the baskets start falling and falling quick.
Yeah. We actually had a 14-point lead in the third quarter with 7 minutes, 7:07 left to go, or 7 minutes left to go in the third quarter. We had a 14-point lead. And I guess, not just to steal Mike Krzyzewski's, we got boomed, basically. Pritchell came in and she hit some crucial threes, and then Kiana Williams went ahead and she started to see the ball go through the hoop, And Louisville just couldn't do anything. Louisville shot 20, sorry, they shot 10 of 20, of 33 from the field in the second half, while Stanford shot 20 of 34.
That is crazy. I mean, it didn't seem like they missed anything. They grabbed that momentum in the fourth quarter and just ran with it.
And that was it. We couldn't get it back. Yeah. But like Coach Wall said before, when you reach the final eight and beyond, every team you play is going to be good, if not great, and they're going to have a great coach, if not a Hall of Fame coach. And Stanford has a great team along with a great Hall of Fame coach. And she made her adjustments. Like I said, one of those adjustments was putting Brink on the bench, which was kind of weird. But once Pritchell got hard and she started hitting those threes, then you kind of understood why she did what she did, why she made the adjustment to continue to go with Pritchell. Because Stanford was struggling from beyond the arc. They were not getting anything. And credit was the defense. But she made her adjustments. Coach Wallace made his adjustments. And at the end, her adjustments were just slightly better than Coach Wallace. And no credit to either coaches. They did what they could. Dana left it all on the floor. And so did the rest of Louisville Cardinals. But in the end, Stanford was just too much for Louisville.
Yeah, and speaking of leaving it all on the floor, Dana Evans did announce tonight that she was going pro. She had an option to come back for one more year, and I don't think anybody really thought she was going to, but we wish her the best of luck. We know she's going to tear it up. She's probably going to get drafted by the New York Liberty like every other Louisville player does. But, this was a weird season. We only lost a few games this year, and we were in this one. I mean, I guess Vegas knew what was going on because before the game, they were almost 11-point underdogs, and you're looking at that at halftime like, huh, what does Vegas know? And then you're sitting there right. With 2 minutes left in the game, you're like, oh, that's what Vegas knows. So, phenomenal year by the women's basketball team. I still am not sure because I know that they're Louisville basketball. I mean, I refer to them when they're playing and the men's team is not playing. I refer to them as Louisville basketball. Some people refer to them as Louisville women's basketball. Some people refer to them as the Lady Cards, even though they've said, hey, we don't want to be referred to as the Lady Cards. I don't think anybody means any malice by it. They're just used to calling it that. But calling them that, not it. Good Lord, that's even worse than that. But phenomenal season. Nothing to hang their heads about. This is one of the most exciting. I don't know if you agree or not, but I believe this is one of the most exciting women's basketball seasons that we've ever had. And that's saying a lot, seeing how far even the national championship runner-up teams, those were special seasons, but this one just felt a little bit more special. And it could have been because of Dana. We talked before the season started, was she going to be a top, end out the year, a top 15 player all time? And she proved me wrong. I didn't think she would be able to consistently night in and night out produce like she did, and she did, and I have no issue saying she's a top 7 player in Louisville women's basketball history. But nothing to hang their heads about. This was a phenomenal season, and we get to do what those blue people down the road do. Look forward to next year. Well, only we had a little bit of success before we had to say that. But we talked about the grad transfers, and then we have two other recruits in the recruiting class. Peyton Vanderlurst?
Now you just made me laugh. Peyton Verlust. Lust. Now I'm stumbling.
That's what I said.
Peyton Verlust. It sounded like you were saying Vander.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
And then who's the other? It's just escaping my head right now.
Sydney, she's the 6'5" post. I'm not going to pronounce her last name because I butcher it every single time.
Well, plus you don't want to get suspended like Wes did. That's why he's not on the show this week, because he got banned from the show for a week. But that's a pretty solid recruiting class. And the reason people are like, well, it's not that deep of a class. Da, da, da. Well, Peyton's a 5-star, right? Or are they both 5-stars?
No, she's a high 3-star.
Okay, what about the player that you don't want to pronounce her name because you're afraid you might curse?
Well, Sydney. Sydney is a high 3-star. Peyton's a 5-star McDonald's All-American.
Okay. And then the other two were as well, right? The grad transfers were 5-stars?
Well, Chelsea Hall wasn't a five-star, and Emily Engsler isn't really a grad transfer. She probably just used the COVID year because technically she was a junior. She just used the COVID year transfer. So she's technically, she came in on the same class as, like I said, Mikasa Robinson and Elizabeth Dixon and Bala Gunn. So she's technically a senior this year.
Okay, it just said the release said the Cards added a pair of grad transfer. Maybe they just meant transfers in general. Nevertheless, I mean, that's still a pretty good recruiting class.
Yes.
So we will look forward to next season. Is there anything else? I know that if we would have recorded this yesterday, you would have had this story before anybody else, because you alluded to it last night to us. But do you have any other recruiting news that you want to share? Anything else you're seeing materialize right now?
No, not right now. Like you said, if we had been able to end the podcast last night or even earlier today, I'd have been able to let y'all know about this before it actually came out. But
I'm sorry.
Other than that,
I said I'm sorry about that. That's my fault. I had to put it off a little bit. We had some stuff to do.
Yeah, it was just so many different people that we needed to go ahead and clear with
yep.
Sean, Dalton, and everyone else. Don't worry about it. It happens. But I really don't want to lose anyone from this current team, but I fear that we might lose one person that takes advantage of the COVID transfer eligibility rules.
Right.
This team, I fear that we will. I hope we don't. But that's my only concern about that, because this team is pretty good. You really have a good set of guards, forwards, and post players. We've seen what Ramani Parker could do in short minutes. And then you had Malaya Williams came on, who is basically a walk-on. She came on, and she hit some shots against Maris. She technically went 3-for-3 if she didn't travel on the first shot, but you have some capable wings and some players with a lot of versatility on this team that, given a normal year, a normal practice schedule and off-season routines, this team could be really, really good next year.
Well, that's what I like to hear, and that's why you are a women's basketball expert. Now we're going to shift field a little bit, not like an infield shift like baseball, but it's apropos because we're doing what they call in the biz a segue. We're gonna talk baseball here with our guy, Sean Barber. Sean, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, Jeremy?
Hey, not much, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your night. We know you have a hot date tonight. We said this before you got on the line, that you had either a hot date with a girl or with a pair of mittens. So we're not sure which one it is, but we're glad that you took some time off to hang out with us tonight.
My vote is the girl, Sean. I'm voting girl.
I'm praying for girl. I don't. Anyway, Sean, I did tell everybody, because you weren't able to be on the entire call, that since we can't get a hold of JK to talk baseball on the podcast, you've kind of become our resident podcast baseballer. You've always had a love for the game of baseball. I've watched many of Chicago, Boston, Louisville games with you, so I know you love the game. So I just wanted you to come on, talk a little bit about Louisville baseball. They've had – the season has been so inconsistent. It seems like we're having a lot of midweek issues. We're having a lot of Sunday issues. I'm not really sure where to start with that, but in our last four games, Louisville's 2-2. So kind of catch us up to speed on what they did last week and what we have coming forward, and then – tell us about a couple of players that you've had your eyes on, because I know one of them is going to be Alex Benelis, because Dalton said at the beginning of the year, Benelis was doing horrible. We said it was just a baseball slump in AB, if we want to call him AB, he's broke out of that slump. So go ahead and tell Card Nation, give him the update, and we'll take as little of your time as possible. You and Sam have been gracious enough to come on the show while I'm out of town, so I appreciate that. So go ahead and catch everybody up.
Well, they went 2-2. As you pointed out, they walloped Western Kentucky last Tuesday, 13-6. Then Ellis went 4-for-4 with 5 RBIs and 2 triples. He pretty much led the way in that game. Cooper Molnar, I believe he was 2-for-4 and scored a couple runs as well. They go to Notre Dame last Friday. They went 7-4. Once again, Manoa had a really good game. He hit one of his two home runs he had on his four-game stretch. We went, I want to say, 2-for-4 that game. And had, I believe, 3 RBIs and a whole team I managed from memory. And then Saturday, they ended up losing 5-3 to Notre Dame. Unfortunately, the bullpen boy, Luke C, actually pitched really well that game. The young pitcher is taking over as a starter on the weekend. He went six innings, almost 7 innings, 6.2 innings, and got 6 strikeouts and gave it 1 run. Unfortunately, Jack Perkins and then I can't remember who the others came in, but they gave up 2 runs apiece, and that's how Notre Dame beat us on Saturday. Some of those games postponed, so we didn't. Yeah.
Sean, hey, real quick. Yeah, I can hear you. But I don't know what's going on. I'm getting a ton of feedback. I do apologize to the listeners because we didn't want to just not do an episode this week. But yeah, I'm getting a lot of feedback. So I'll kind of inform them of what you just said in case they didn't hear you. I'm sure they already know that the Cards beat Western Kentucky 13-6. They split the two games they played with Notre Dame with a 7-4 win on Friday, a 5-3 loss on Saturday, and then lost in a slugfest to Cincy on Tuesday, 13-12. They have a 3-game set with Wake Forest at home this weekend. They start tomorrow with a 6 p.m. game, Saturdays at 1 p.m., and Sundays at 12:30. This is going to be a tough series because a lot of people have been they always overlook Wake Forest. And they are a team to be reckoned with. So that should be a fun series for Louisville. I just wish I knew what the actual issue. It seems like to me, and I'm just an observer. I don't get into the breakdown and the analytics of baseball like you do. But to me, it just seems like we're having some issue with our middle relief pitching, and a little bit with our closing as well. But I mean, that's something that could be fixed throughout the year, especially when you hit the pitching staff that we have. So you said that you had a couple of spotlights that you wanted to talk about. So before we let you go for the evening, tell us a little bit about the two gentlemen that you wanted to spotlight. And again, I do apologize for the audio quality. The Wi-Fi here at the place that I'm at is not been the best. Plus we're 1,000 miles away, so I'm sure that probably has something to do with the bad connection as well. But Sean, go ahead, give us a couple of sentences. I know you did a lot of work, and we'll go into more detail on this when I get home, when we get back and we're in studio. Again, my apologies to everybody, but give us a couple sentences on each player, and then we'll let you go and finish off your night, whatever you did have planned on with whoever you had it planned with. Or whatever article of clothing you had it planned with. So go ahead.
I actually had plans to sleep. That's what I had.
Well, you do need some beauty sleep, so that's fair.
Yeah, I gotta work tomorrow, man. I went and seen Godzilla, though. Great movie. But
don't ruin it. I'm going to watch it later.
Alex Manelis. He was basically Godzilla for you about this weekend. By his 4 games, he had, like I kind of mentioned in the game descriptions I was given, he had 2 home runs in the last 4 game stretch, and he had 2 triples in the game against Western Kentucky. He had, like, I want to say 7 RBIs, maybe 8. But he's been just on fire. He's the guy that we expected him to be, the star of the team, to be honest, the offensive star. The other guy's done really well is Cooper Bowman at the top of the lineup. Even when he hasn't necessarily got a lot of hits, he's getting on base. He's born. He actually had, in the unfortunate loss to Cincinnati, he had 3 stolen bases, which is, that's, you know, in baseball, it's not easy to do. Stealing base is not something that one guy does in a game where he steals 3 or 4 bases. That's not something that happens a lot. So he's doing really well as well. And those are 2 guys that I really hope will come to Louisville for more victories as they get the season.
We can still hear you, Jeremy.
I love the breakdown of it. And again, I want to apologize to everybody. I know that was good. They could hear you that time, Sean. Sam, I know we're always about giving you all the best product, and we're still going to put this out because we know I've been bombarded. When y'all going to put out some more content? Well, we're giving it to you tonight. It's a little subpar audio. The audio quality is, and we do apologize for that, but we get it done, and we're going to take care of it here soon. Sean and Sam, I do appreciate you all coming on. Do y'all have any party? Normally, we do this at the end of the show, and please try not to pull a Wes, Sean. I know how foul your mouth is, but do y'all have any parting shots before we get to the recruiting, the self-proclaimed recruiting guru, Dalton Pence?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, I was just going to say R.I.P. Howard Schoenberger, the coach of my childhood. Just a great coach, and from all accounts, a good man. I used to listen to him calling on a Card Chronicles show, the radio show, and he's full of stories, and college football's going missing.
Way to promote another site during our show, Sean. Way to go, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to talk more about Coach because he held a special place in my heart too. And again, we'll talk about that later in the show. But Sean put up a couple of great stories this week about he did an opinion piece on him. I believe it was this morning we posted it. He'd been working on it for several days, and then he did a quick write up last week when I was actually down here. When I found out of Coach's passing, and we threw a bunch of tweets up from his former players and friends and stuff like that. Great stuff by Sean, as always. We do appreciate it. Sam, what about you? Do you have any parting shots other than relax?
Yeah. No. I have a PSA for everyone under the sound of our voices.
Okay.
We're almost through this whole pandemic. I know it gets impatient when you see a finish line ahead, but I just encourage everyone to stay with their mask. Don't relax on the social distance and the mask protocols, because they're trying to vaccinate people as many as they could, as much as they could, and as soon as they could. So just bear with the mask and the social distance for a little bit longer. Just a couple more months. And then maybe we could have a normal summer and a normal fall. Maybe we could all be out in the Cardinals Stadium watching some football and then back inside the Yum Center at full capacity. So just hang in there for a little bit longer. Don't give up now.
And, preach.
And let's get this thing back to normal. Just need a little bit more patience. That's all I got.
Absolutely, and we thank you all very much. Up next, but real quick, before we get to the next part of the show, let's talk about some of our fine sponsors. Shack in the Back Barbecue out in Fairdale, that's 3633 BBQ. Miss Barber and Company, they serve up the best food, some of the best food in the city, definitely the best turkey ribs I've ever had. Sorry, Chris. Very delicious. Signed on. She's going to be a summer sponsor along with our good friend Chris Williams at a Four Pigs Beer Lounge. And pretty much everybody signed up to be summer sponsor. We do appreciate all of your all's support. If you're looking for any fitness equipment, exercise equipment, give our friends Chris and Sarah a call out at Fitness Market. That's 502-882-2694. Just got in a huge shipment of the dumbbell power blocks yesterday. Give them a call. Reach out. Grab one before they run out. They do run out quick. Chris and Linda Stewart out at Custom Multicades. Call them at 502-819-5802. As you know, they do pinball machines, golden tee machines, stand-up, sit-down, two-player, three-player, one-player arcade machines. They put your favorite teams. May be able to put your face on the side of it. Light up buttons, trim, color, everything. Hit them up. Tell them Cardinal Sports Zone. Tell everybody Cardinal Sports Zone sent you. They love it when they find out that you heard about them from our show. Again, our guy Chris Williams at a Four Pegs Beer Lounge, 634-1447. Man, somebody beat the Louisville's greatest challenge last week, a couple weeks ago, and that's a lot of food. My head is off. I would definitely be out chilling, relaxing somewhere, kind of like I had been this week if I had took down that challenge. But great man. He has done so much for the community, and I'm proud to have him as a sponsor. And last but not least, my guy Rob Black, he's gearing up for his summer session, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, 502-773-5757. If you didn't know, he can take care of your yard year-round, not just the summer, but he's about to start mowing here in a few weeks. So give him a call. Let him know that you heard about him from Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. He called me earlier this week. He's like, dude, I got a couple more people from the podcast. It's awesome. I was like, yeah, that's why you're rolling with the best. So, sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry, because I'm just being humble, not humble. So, speaking of humble, not humble, I bring on my next guest. He is the six star, the blue chipper, the self-professed young gun of Cardinal Sports Zone. Well, actually, literally, too, of the recruiting team, Dalton Pence. Dalton, what's going on, my man?
Hey, 55, what's going on, man? How's vacation treating you?
Bro, this has been one of the most stressful vacations I've ever had, and it's you weren't here at the beginning of the show, obviously, because we're all in different locations. That's the main part about a remote, but Pops is back in the rehab center. They're thinking they might take him back to the hospital because his lungs just aren't doing well, so obviously prayers up for him and stuff, but man, I've been stressed out almost every day, worrying about my family, worried about Lucy, just worried about everything. So, but at the end of the day, I can look out the window right now, see the calm waters of the ocean, see the beach, and realize how blessed I am, no matter how stressed I am. I should be a rapper, because that was kind of Jack Harlow-ish. So
let's stick to podcast.
Yeah, let's stick to podcast. Yeah, you know that you know. I will say though, B Sim did say I was the best non-rapping rapper he'd heard in a long time when he was on the show. So I'm gonna stick with that because he's a professional. So I'm a roll with that. But anyway, speaking of rolling with some things, the Louisville men's team. Let's start off with that. Has added, you know, they're on a roll for next year. They've added a couple of key pieces this past few weeks since their dreams of the tournament run were shattered. But the latest one is a guy that I know you spoke very highly of, and Jared West from Marshall. So tell everybody a little bit about Jared West.
Yeah, I mean, I was fond of the addition. He's a smaller guard, think of, you know, car league size, a better defender, an all conference USA first team selection, 2 out of his 4 years with the Thundering Herd, also 2-time all defensive team selection. So he's very, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he's the all time leader in steals at Marshall, but don't quote me on that just yet. I felt like that was just something that I heard, but shoots a little over 40% from deep. That is definitely something that Louisville fans should be relishing about, just due to the fact that last year perimeter shooting was a big issue. I've seen a lot of people try to compare him to Quan Four, and you know, and a lot of people have kind of taken that in a negative connotation, and that, you know, it's nothing against Quan. Quan came in, right, and really kind of fulfilled his role as a good defender, a primary defender. You know, he was never truly known for his offensive skill set. I think West is going to kind of give you that same output production-wise defensively, but he's also going to be a little bit better as a ball handler and as a, you know, as more of an offensive producer. So I like the addition. I the only way I wouldn't be fond of it is if we have to have him step into that Carly Jones role of trying to do it all, because I don't think that I don't think he's necessarily on that level. But if he's a, you know, maybe the first guard off the bench, or even if he's a starter with, you know, a guy like Carly back or DJ, who knows what's going to happen. But I think it's, you know, the move itself will all depend on what role Mac envisions for him.
Are you one who, so we've had a pretty good finger on the pulse, and of course you get, you know, you catch a lot of flack for some reason, Dalton. I have no idea, on social media, from a lot of douchebags and a lot of wannabes, and they're like, oh, you heard your information from Twitter, not from a source. Just let everybody know.
Yeah.
Dalton has legitimate sources. 50% of the time, I'm his source, and or he's asked me to confirm something, and I've got to confirm. So before you try to come for any member of my team, I would think again, because he is legit. He is a young star on the rise. I mean, I would say on the rise, but that's kind of a diss to Dalton, because he's been on the rise for a long time. He's already there. So let's just knock off the childish Twitter,
who are you?
Slap nuts, all that stuff. Like, just get over it. But anyway, we've kind of, I had to vent for a little bit, and I'm not sorry.
I got you. I appreciate. I mean, it's one of those things where I tell myself, you know, let people, let whoever say whatever. You know, all you can do is control how you react to things. And you know, I'm not going to get into arguments on Twitter. That's really just not how I am. If I have a true problem, I'll reach out to you individually. But I mean, people can say whatever they want to say, but they're allowed to be wrong.
That, well, not only are they allowed and entitled to be wrong, they are, because I know how hard you work, and there's always somebody out there that wants what somebody else has, and I think a lot of it is has to do with that. But anyway, you don't want to get into Twitter fights, because you know that would reflect badly on Cardinal Sports Zone and some of the other places
that you do business for.
So you let me take care of it. You let me take care of it, and any flack that I get because of it, I really don't care, because I've been in the game for a long time, and you either by this point love me or don't love, you hate me. So it is what it is, and not a lot of people hate me, just for those out there that are keeping score. A lot of people love me, so it is what it is. Back to the main point that I was getting to a few minutes ago. We've had our finger on the pulse of this the whole time. Are you kind of getting like I am and feeling like, whereas 2 weeks ago it was, man, DJ may come back, Carleek's 50-50. I'm starting to feel like neither one of them are going to come back. Are you kind of feeling the same way, or do you have a little bit more? Maybe I've just been stressed all week and had a case of the boo-boos, and I'm over here just, you know, just being pessimistic,
right,
and all that stuff. Are you feeling that same way, or do you think we still have a chance to keep Carleek?
You know, personally, I came into this season, you know, automatically feeling as if DJ was gone after the season, like many others. That really hasn't changed. I think that even though there might be some growing optimism that he may return, I just feel like with his size and with his basketball IQ, you know, he's just going to be built to wow an NBA team. And I think that he ultimately is going to receive a first round grade. Personally, I don't hold too much stock in terms of optimism for DJ coming back. Carleek's kind of a different animal in that sense, because of, you have to look at the ceiling, you know, Carleek being kind of an undersized two guard, his, you know, projection to the NBA gets a little trickier. I know that, you know, his dad went on record saying that, you know, he's, you know, he doesn't want to be in the G League, which, you know, first year, but the players that don't go to the G League are first round picks. And sometimes not every single first round pick starts out, you know, on the NBA roster. So it really just depends on, I think, if he can get guaranteed money by a team or a couple teams. I still think that I say 50-50, but it's like, I guess that can kind of be misconstrued, because I don't think it's really, it really just depends on how teams view him. I mean, let's be honest, another year of college isn't necessarily going to change his stock too much. But, I mean, I think that it really is going to be up to him on whether, you know, the G League is the route, because I just find it very hard to believe that he's going to go right onto an NBA roster, just because most guys don't do that unless you go in the lottery. So I think, you know, DJ, I still hold true to my word. I think he's gone. Carl Leak, you know, if you held a gun to my head and made me decide right now, I would say he's gone as well. So we'll
That's
see.
The way
and
I
think that
too.
Might be just indicative of how Mac is, you know, getting in on some guys in the, you know, transfer portal.
Well, speaking of that, great segue to the next thing we're going to talk about is transfer, whether it's grad transfer, whether it's just COVID transfer, whatever the case may be. There's some guys we've been talking about, and then again, there was a guy that was just put into the transfer portal this morning that you were salivating over, you know, in a positive, you know, in a purely sporting way.
Right.
A guy that had Louisville in his top three, you had to remind me of that. And immediately I knew, like, his Instagram name was like A West 44 or something like that. But go ahead and tell everybody about that. And then a couple of more guys that you think it makes sense for Louisville to go after in the quote unquote free agency of the transfer market.
Well, I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, it seems like, you know, we're already shattering the record numbers for, you know, the transfer market. And, Adam Miller, the really good freshman from Illinois, borderline five-star that Louisville was in the top three before he chose his home state school, has decided to transfer. I've always been high on Adam. I love the fact that he can create his own shot and has a lot of athleticism and size. That's, for me, that's exactly what the doctor ordered for Louisville. It checks off all the boxes, you know, getting a guy who is, you know, like DJ in a way, because he has that size. But, you know, I think that, you know, as DJ is more of a facilitator and has better vision, Miller is, you know, better, you know, fine-tuned in terms of scoring. And right now I think that that's what Louisville needs. You take a guy like Jared West, you know, Adam Miller would be a perfect complement to him, however you want to slice it, and that would kind of really soften the blow of losing both Carly and David, you know, assuming that we do. That's kind of, I'm in the mindset of I'm already kind of planning for them to be gone. And if they return, I'd rather be surprised than get my hopes up.
Absolutely. Like, and so. I said his Instagram name was A. I was looking at my notes. I was looking at Jared West. I said it was A. West, but it was A. Miller 44, I believe it was.
Right.
But yeah, I'm with you. I remember you singing his praises. When we jumped into a surprise, we were all also skeptical because the last time we jumped into a surprise top three, it didn't end up working so well for
us. Yeah, that was. I was honestly, because I've heard that, you know, Louisville really wasn't actively recruiting him, and they ended up in the top three, and that just kind of, you know, that just kind of shows you the there was something there that he saw in Louisville, and I would love for Mac to really make him a priority. Because I truly think that he fits in this system. You know, Mac has gone on record saying that he wants bigger guards. You know, whether that system, you know, whether that belief is what he holds now, you know, that's yet to be seen. But getting a guy of his size is pretty solid. He's really kind of gone in on a couple other guys that I'll mention here in just a second. But I want to point out something that I really have been kind of following. You know, a lot of those guys that Louisville missed on in that class with Adam Miller, that 2020 class of this past cycle, a very good amount of them are in the transfer portal right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just off the top of my head, Christian Lander, Jamin Brakefield, Davon Smith, Adam Miller. You know, going down the line, there's a very good you know, just a very good amount of guys that Louisville was looking at that, you know, felt like they were in good positions for. They ended up going elsewhere, and it kind of goes to show you the grass is not always greener on the other side. So
let me ask you a question real quick before you move forward. If either of those Smith, Lander, or Brakefield, are you interested in a second shot at any of those guys or not? Because
none of those three showed me anything of substance to say that, I mean, if we're willing to take on projects, I think all three of them are projects. And if that's what Mac is looking for, then I guess that is, you know, some viable options. But, you know, seeing what Mac has done, you know, he's changed up his coaching staff. He's, you know, made some necessary roster adjustments. I still don't think we're done losing some people there. I think, you know, some other guys may have to transfer out to really for Mac to get the guys he wants. And Mac is going for a big push for next season because I think, you know, he sees that this is going to be a vital season for him. Jerry West is a good addition, but hopefully it's just the start. So these three guys aren't anything that personally I would go after. However, some other guys that he's gone after that really should be raising eyebrows, the first one that most are aware of is Noah Locke, the shooting guard from Florida who shoots the ball at a very high percentage, a pure shooter. That's really what he does, what he did in that Florida offense. He's on Franklin is another guy, the second leading scorer out of Indiana. I know that there has been some talks of Chris Mack adding an assistant coach from that Hoosier staff. And then another guy is Rocket Watts. And, you know, in terms of backcourt, we've, you know, in that 2019 class, I don't know, really it was a matter of, okay, are we taking DJ or are we taking Watts? You know, it ended up being DJ. Watts ended up going to East Lansing. Now he's in the portal. So I know that, you know, it's been known that Louisville has reached out to him. So there's a lot of backcourt options that the Cards are involved with, which is very nice. You always have to have those options. Right now, the Cards, you know, assuming that DJ's gone, they have one open scholarship as of right now. So I'd love the guys I just mentioned or Miller, you know, hop into the fold sooner rather than later.
Let's switch gears a little bit and let's go to football. You've had a couple of great – I mean, all your features are great, but in the last few weeks, you've done a few football features that I would like for you to – I mean, because they've gotten a lot of views already, but I'd like for you to reiterate for people – you know, what you've had on the site, because your feature work is just, it's top of the line. And that's not just me saying that because I'm the boss. That's just me being honest. Like, they've been phenomenal. So if you'll go over with Card Nation who those players were, and just talk about what you have going or what you have planned for coming out soon too, if you will.
Yeah, of course. So I've had two features come out thus far about some football prospects, one in 2022 in this cycle. That's a four-star running back, Justin Williams, out of Dallas, Georgia. A ton of big offers there. I was able to discuss a lot of, you know, where his mindset was at. And then I talked with a 2023 defensive back, Ethan Nation, who has over 37 offers, including, you know, the big schools, Alabama, LSU. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. 2023 rankings really aren't, you know, put too much stock into those right now, but he's definitely looks like he's going to project to be a four-star. You can go read those on, you know, on the site, but I think a similarity between both of them and that I'm seeing from recruits is that the Louisville staff has really made an effort to establish consistent communication.
Yeah.
And that's the big key. I basically, you know, Justin Williams told me that he hears from Coach Darrell Sims every single day of the week. Like, you know, for some, you know, that's like, okay, that might be a little overboard. Nowadays in the recruiting world, that's almost a necessity. Having that type of communication and building that type of relationship and trust is essential. Especially with high name guys that, you know, let's be honest, it's going to be very hard to recruit with the blue bloods of the football world. This isn't necessarily, you know, in the basketball setting that Louisville might be able to go toe to toe in a sense, but football, they're definitely kind of, you know, outmanned in a sense. But, you know, communication. And I also think another thing that we can anticipate, but now I'm starting to see Lamar Jackson had a ton of effect on recruiting, not just because of what, you know, what he said to recruits, because I don't know what his relationship like is with recruits or anything like that, but, you know, he started to put Louisville on the map. People started watching Louisville. You know, you got to think, these guys were, you know, in elementary school when Teddy Bridgewater was here, so they don't truly remember a lot of those Sugar Bowl teams. Lamar Jackson is where that memory comes from, so I mean, it's very intriguing to hear them say, my first reaction to when Louisville offered, my first thought goes to Lamar Jackson. I mean, that can't be overstated.
Absolutely. And again, for all of Dalton's features, you can find them on our site at cardinalsportszone.com. Just go in the search bar, enter in Dalton Pence, hit search, you'll find them. It's that easy. We're going to go to rapid fire real quick because I want to share a few things before we close. And Dalton, I do appreciate you. It is pretty late, so I do appreciate you jumping on and chopping it up with me. First off, I do want to point out that UCLA is in the Final Four. And, yeah, this is a little bit of saltiness on my behalf, but let me be salty for a second. it should have been Louisville. It's well known that they jumped Louisville and should not have been selected over Louisville. Therefore, by the theory of relativity, Louisville's in the Final Four. So let's cheer for the Louisville Bruins this weekend.
Sounds right to me.
I think it's pretty fair. That's all about that. Also, it was announced this week that the Georgia Bulldogs have signed a home-and-home with the Louisville Cardinals. We will play at Cardinal Stadium. We don't know what it will be called at that point in 2026. And then we'll return the favor in 2027 to Athens. Louisville had a previous home-and-home scheduled with them in the – I know I said in the recruiting chat the other day, I don't recall when it was in the mid-2010s, I believe. Or maybe – no, I think it might have been 2010 and 2011. Y'all can fact-check me on that. I know how people like John Lindeman are. He will fact-check me on that. But hopefully this one sticks. I'm not going to get to it. I was excited about the last Georgia series as I was the LSU home-and-home series that was canceled. So that was actually the LSU one was a two-for-one. We hosted them once. We went there twice. But hopefully this one will stick. I would love – that's a great regional draw. I think it could become a rivalry, a good rivalry game because a lot of our kids do come from Florida and Georgia, so that would be a good matchup. The number 13th ranked Louisville volleyball team, they hit 276 tonight, had 14 blocks and 7 aces. Nina Banu led with 14 kills. Anna Stevenson had 7 blocks. And Tori Dilfer had 49 assists to down the Hurricanes 3-1. They have UNC tomorrow to conclude the spring session. This is a continuation of the season that did get stopped multiple times by COVID. They will await to hear if they qualify, which they should. They're sitting at 13-2 for the 2020 NCAA tournament. Good luck to you, ladies. We hope that you have a great showing. We know that you'll make us proud. I wanted to also, real quick, a lot of people have been, we talk about bad news sometimes. We had a young man, Bobby Pettiford Jr., that decommitted from us a couple weeks ago. He's committed to Kansas. So congratulations. Shout out to him. I mean, I want to see, at the end of the day, I want to see these young men succeed. He definitely will get more playing time at Kansas than he would have at Louisville. So good luck.
Also, Eric Vanderhuizen is at Ole Miss as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. You know what?
Yep.
If the day they decommitted, if you would have asked me to bet any amount of money, I would have took the bet and said they both ended up at the same school. But evidently,
I would have as well. I think everybody did.
Kansas didn't want them. So, but best of luck to both of those young men. We appreciate it. And to end off rapid fire, I do want to talk a little bit about Coach Howard Schnellenberger. He passed away this past week. I had a pretty rough time in high school with, not with my coach. My coach was awesome. I love my coach. But I was not so much injury prone, but, man, I had a big confidence. I had a confidence issue. And I got a call from Howard Schnellenberger, and he wanted me to come try out for Louisville. I did that. I got the offer to play at Louisville, and right before I was going to play for Louisville, there was a coaching change. And Coach Schnellenberger, and I talked to him maybe about 10 to 12 times, and he's like, I want you to give this new guy a shot. He seems – just wait till you hear him. And then I heard Coach Ron Cooper's press conference and fell in love. And I thank Coach for that because I still talk to Coach Cooper occasionally. It's not all the time, but He reaches out for me, reaches out to me from time to time. And all I can say is that Coach Snellenberger made had an impact on a lot of people, a lot from Browning Nagel to Jeff Brohm to Roman Oben to Sam Madison to the entire University of Louisville, Miami, and FAU football teams. Coach Snellenberger resurrected, I can't say for FAU because they really were never a power. I mean, we weren't either. We were about to lose our football program here at Louisville when Coach Snellenberger busted on the scene from Miami, got his first chance with us. But he resurrected the U. He resurrected the University of Louisville. And we appreciate you so much. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Miss Beverly. We're sorry for your loss, and we hope that Coach rests in peace. And we got nothing but love and positive vibes and hugs headed your way. But I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention a little bit something about somebody. He was one of the – I only had three head football coaches – or four head football coaches throughout high school and college. And he was one of them. So, well, not really. He signed me. So, anyway, you know, he meant a lot to me, and I just wanted to say a little bit about him. But that's all we got for this week. I do appreciate everybody tuning in. I know that we had a little bit of technical problems earlier in the show because Sean was trying to play with the etch and sketch at the same time he was talking on the phone. We do apologize for that. We'll just blame it all on Sean. He's used to it. But we do want to shout out again to all of our fine sponsors, the Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and we are working on more. Man, we need a pool place. I wonder if Watson's is available. I'm just kidding. I never have. I'm joking. If you'd like to sponsor the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, give us a call at 502-694-0375, or you can hit us up on social media. At Card Sport Zone on Twitter and Instagram. Individually, I'm Jeremy_CSZ. Dalton, what is your Twitter handle they can reach you at?
At Dpence_.
Dpence_. And then you can get a hold of the other members of the Cardinal Sport Zone podcast. You've got Elville Sean. You've got Base Boy, BOI124. Is it 12 or 124?
Pretty sure it's 124.
Okay, 124. Joe Wahman 526. A lot of numbers. Joe Wahman 526. That's not that's not an egg or a burner account, I promise. And then WestB_42. And I am the Higgy, last but certainly not least, as far as the scales are concerned. But anyway, no, I had to throw a shot at Higgy. I haven't talked about it. He knew it. He knew it was coming. He knows I love him. But you can follow, like I said, the website. You can follow it on social media, on Twitter, at Card Sport Zone, on Instagram, at Card Sport Zone, and on Facebook, Cardinal Sports Zone. Three words. Hit that like button. Make it Facebook official. You can find us on all the podcast avenues, Apple, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, Amazon, and iHeart Podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star review. Don't give us anything less than that, though, because that would just make you a jerk. If you haven't listened to all the episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go back, check them all out, hit that drop-down menu, hit podcast, CSZ podcast. And if you want to listen to some old-school stuff, our old episodes from CSZ on 93.9 The Villa are there. So our old episodes of Live with 55, that was one of the first shows we did. Had a lot of fun with that. I had a lot of fun with that. I'm going to say that it was so nice. I said it twice. Check out our exclusives on CardinalSportsZone.com, the place that all began. Dalton's got he's put some great stuff out this month. He's got some even better stuff coming out here in the next few weeks. Can't wait to see it. And I promise you, man, we had some interviews promised to us that we've talked to you all about. That were just kind of
I was about to say season's over now, so
I know, but maybe we could. I mean, you still wouldn't mind if we got that interview for you. So I'm still gonna work on it, but that was not my fault. It was not Dalton's fault. That just with the tournament going on, things got hectic, and that opportunity was pulled away from us. But great exclusives writer Sean does a great job writing exclusives. We have a great staff all overall at CardinalSportsZone.com. So check it out. Shout out to everyone out there sharing the podcast. We appreciate you. We appreciate the love. If you have any ideas or suggestions for guests, themes, whatever, shoot me a DM at Jeremy_CSZ. Dalton, do you have any last words, my friend?
No, I think I'm okay.
Think I'm okay. Okay, well, I guess that's all right. We will be going on a shortened summer schedule, so we'll probably come to you every couple weeks. But whenever we got enough news to talk about, we'll hit you up and we'll let you know. Another successful season of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast has come to an end. Again, bonus episodes this summer. We appreciate it. Until next time, Court Dennison is the man. Recruit Selah Brown. And this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We're out. I swear I need to become a rapper. Maybe just a little bit. Maybe not.
All right, but man, I gotta head out of here.
You're still on the air, so.
Oh, whoops.
Later.